He sent me to open blinded eyes, to deliver. This message I bring delivers from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan, the bondage of slavery to evil, to the freedom of being a subject of God Almighty, part of His kingdom, and forgiveness, what everybody needs, and you can't find anywhere else. I proclaim forgiveness, he said, and an inheritance, think about it, from blindness to sight, from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series from the book of Acts. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Paul Before Agrippa. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Acts 26, the 26th chapter of Acts. And if you're new with us, we're just moving right through this account of what Jesus Christ continues to do as the resurrected one in and through His Holy Spirit empowering us, His body, the body of Christ. So it's an exciting account, and we turn to Acts 26, and let me just ask the Lord to speak to us now. Lord, we turn to Your Word, and we are very mindful that it is Your Word written for our instruction. So we invite You now to teach us. And Lord, I pray for those here who might not know You. Lord, You know exactly who each one of us are. You know our needs. You know our sin. You came to save us. And we invite You, Lord, to work in each one of our hearts. Those who don't know You, Lord, may they come to know You today. As we hear the testimony later of these ones who are coming to be baptized, we're excited. And Lord, those of us who know You, may we grow in our love for You. Even in these few minutes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was noon. Bright, sunny day. I was on the road to Seattle, and even as I just say that much, you can think about the scene. And suddenly, out of nowhere, I saw a bright light, and I heard a voice, and both of them were from heaven. That's basically verse 13 of Acts 26. At midday, O king, now this is King Agrippa, Paul has the opportunity to talk to Herod Agrippa and Bernice and the governor and the military personnel, all the notables. They're there amid great pomp, we've been told. They've gathered and they give him permission to speak. Now, what's the setting? Well, let me just have you read the last few verses of chapter 25 with me, starting at verse 24. Festus, that's the governor, the Roman governor, said to King Agrippa and all you gentlemen here present with us. And so he's not just saying it casually, King Agrippa and all you gentlemen here present with us. You behold this man, about whom all the people of the Jews appealed to me, both at Jerusalem and here, loudly declaring that he ought not to live any longer. They're asking for the capital punishment. But I found that he'd committed nothing worthy of death. And since he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. Really, he didn't have much choice. Yet I have nothing definite about him to write to my Lord. Therefore, I've brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the investigation has taken place, I may have something to write. For it seems absurd to me in sending a prisoner not to indicate also the charges against him. And then we saw last time Paul is given, verse 1, Agrippa said to Paul, okay, you're permitted to speak. And so Paul speaks, and he says, hey, I'm glad I can talk to you, King Agrippa, because you're an expert in things of the Jews. He was Jewish. He was the king of the Jews. He was sort of a puppet king in one sense. But he says, I'm glad I can bring this before you, and I beg you to listen patiently. You guys all know my upbringing. I was raised in the strictest sect of Judaism. I was one of you, he's saying. And I am now, verse 5, 6, 7, he says, I'm now on trial for the very thing that our scriptures teach, the resurrection. Why is it considered, verse 8, why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? So he gets that out right away. And then he says, but you also know not only how I was raised and taught here in Jerusalem, there in Caesarea, but I mean, he says, I was raised in this. I was the Pharisee of Pharisees. But I also knew, in fact, you also know that I was persecuting. I felt like I had to do, verse 9, many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And as we were singing the name just now, I thought of Paul getting the name of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, out right away in verse 9. And I would even take it, I had papers, and I would even go to foreign cities. I'd get my passport if I had to. And I was on my way to Damascus. And it was noon. And I saw on the way a light from heaven, verse 13, follow with me. A light from heaven, brighter than the sun. And I heard a voice, verse 14, a voice from heaven. It was at the middle of the day. I was on my way to Damascus, and all of a sudden, a bright light. I mean, it was brighter than the sun. Right at noonday, you know how bright it is at noon on the way to Damascus. But it was brighter than all that. Shining all around me, verse 13, and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Scott, Scott, Megan, Megan, David, David, whatever your name is, place it there, because Saul is telling this story. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I said, verse 15, who are you, Lord? Notice, he knew he was hearing from heaven. He knew, in one sense, who it was speaking to him. But in another sense, he says, who are you? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Saul never tired of telling this story. And I don't think we should ever tire of reading it and telling it yet again. Can you imagine? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The shockwave that went through his heart. But arise, verse 16, stand on your feet. For this purpose I've appeared to you, to appoint to you a minister and a witness. And I said last week, the emphasis that Paul brings out here as he shares this with Agrippa and the rest of the group is more his commissioning than his conversion. He shares the conversion, don't miss it. But he says, but I was commissioned. So let me just read it. Stand up on your feet. For this purpose, I've appeared to you to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things you've seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in me. Direct quote from the voice from heaven. Consequently, verse 19, King Agrippa, I didn't prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem and then throughout all the region of Judea and even to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. For this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to put me to death. And so, having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great. And he's looking at the ones who consider themselves, you know, the great ones. But he says, I stand today testifying to the small and to the great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he should be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. King Agrippa, I couldn't disobey this commission. I received it in such a way that I must obey. And I'm standing here before you today to call on you, the small and the great, to repent and turn to God and perform deeds appropriate to repentance. And you'll find, and he explains the gospel. I mean, verse 18 is a treasure house of truth that Paul was commissioned to proclaim. He said, I'm sending you, verse 17, he told me, I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in me. King Agrippa, he sent me. He sent me to open blinded eyes, to deliver. This message I bring delivers from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan, the bondage of slavery to evil, to the freedom of being a subject of God Almighty, part of his kingdom. And forgiveness, what everybody needs. And you can't find anywhere else. I proclaim forgiveness, he said. And an inheritance, think about it. From blindness to sight. From darkness to light. From bondage to freedom. From guilt and shame to forgiveness. And from deserving God's wrath to inheriting every blessing. I mean, this is our gospel, Christian. And by the way, if you're here without Christ, this is what I proclaim to you. Why would anyone turn this Jesus down? This is what he offers. And this is what Paul was commissioned to proclaim. Now, notice, look carefully, because he's speaking of his commission. I am sending you, he told Paul. Verse 17. And he commissioned the apostle to open their eyes, to deliver them. Now, Paul knew, and I want to make it crystal clear. Jesus Christ said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't open anybody's eyes. We can't deliver anyone. This church can't set you free. This church is just a bunch of people like you and me. But he said, I'm sending you to open their eyes, to deliver them from darkness to light. And what I just prayed over this team we sent out, apart from Christ, we're like a branch torn from the vine. We can't bear any fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, John 15:5. In Christ, you can do all things, Philippians 4:13. And so I'm sure Paul has walked with the Lord many years when he's sharing this with Agrippa. But he's aware that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. It's a proverb. Yesterday, it was about noon. And I said, Chris, let's take the old car out. And it was a beautiful day for it. And so we went for kind of automobile touring, you know. And it was beautiful as we got out this direction, out into the country, just, you know how pretty it is, just immediately. And we were having a good time, and I saw a garage sale sign. And I thought, oh, these country garage sales. It's probably been up for 3 months, the sign, you know. But I said, you want to stop? She said, why not? So we turned around, went back, and as we pulled in, it was a long driveway. And I said, what do you want to bet this is, you know, what I call kind of a obsolete garage sale? The sign's been up forever, and it's just some junk, you know. But we kept going. She said, where are we going? It was a long driveway. And we got in there, and my eyes lit up because it was what I was hoping for. It was real. And we were the only ones there. Nobody else would drive back there. And there was a lot of stuff, and I said, this has possibilities. I could say it wasn't baby clothes and crystal, you know. There were tools and stuff that kind of interest me, you know. So we had a good time roaming around, and we both bought stuff. And in fact, so much that, and we were talking with the old timer, and a fun guy to talk with. I said, hey, I'll be back. I don't think you're going anywhere, because he told us he'd been there since 75. He bought the place, you know. And so I got to know him. And so I said, hey, I'll be back. And I said, how long are you going to be here? And he said, I'll be here till 6. And I said, I'll get it back before 6. So we took off, came back. I came back to load the stuff Chris bought. you know, he was helpful. And I said, you know, there's something else I've been looking for. And he took me down by the horse pen. I got some fence posts for you, because I was looking for something to drive in the ground. And I said, that's perfect. We went down to the horse barn, and I said, you really keep the, it was very serene. I said, you keep this place up nicely. It's very pretty. And he said, it takes everything I've got to keep this place the way you see it right now. And I said, I'll bet it does. He says, oh, yeah. I said, do you keep it mowed out there all the way down the road? He says, yeah, I keep it mowed. He says, I mow. And he said, and I cut around every tree, and I'd seen the string cutters hanging in the barn. And then he said, but it's good for me. He said, it keeps me from dying. And I said, are you ready for that? And he said, no. But I know it's inevitable. He'd already told me, he's a retired school teacher, drove the bus for the kids about 17 years after that, so he knows. It's inevitable. Not ready. I said, what's your background spiritually with Christ? Do you have any? He said, no. Just like that. And I said, well, you don't have any background with Christ then? Oh, yeah. And he told me the denomination that he was in when he was a kid. But I don't believe that stuff. He said, and besides, he said, you know, that, and I said, well, you know, I'm not talking about, I said, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question that I ask all? And he said he was, you know, he told me he'd left that. And so I said, I ask all X. And then I used the denominational name. And for my purposes today to share this with you, I don't need to tell you. I just said, I ask all ex-Baptists or all ex-Catholics or, you know, whatever he told me. And he listened. And I said, have you ever, I mean, not when you were a kid and forced to, but have you ever as an adult read just the life account of Jesus Christ? The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke? He said, no. Just right away, no. And I said, well, you know, it's about that thick. It's like a long magazine article. And I would encourage you to read. I don't want to. He said, why? Why is that? I'm just not interested. I don't believe that stuff. And I said, yeah, but why don't you just take a read? And he said, no. That walking on water, nobody can do that. And I said, well, you know, Jesus said he created the water. If God created, he spoke this universe into existence. And if he wants to walk on the water, he could, couldn't he? Rise from the dead, he brought it out. He's heard some of the gospel. He's rejected the gospel. And I said, yeah, he can rise from the dead. And he did. I don't believe that. And I said, well, why don't you just take the time to read? I don't want to. Okay. And I looked him in the eye. And we're standing there by the horse barn. And I said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And he looked at me and he said, yeah. So we started walking back. And I said, sounds like you've given this a lot of thought. And he said, yeah, and I'm not going to change. I will not change. And my heart was broken as I heard him speak this way. And as I drove down that long driveway, I said, Lord, thank you for opening my blinded eyes. Lord, I desperately need your mercy, but for your grace, that's where I'd be. And I told him, you know, you could read the Gospel of John in the time you've sat here today waiting for customers that didn't show up. And he laughed, you know. Wasting away yet another day, refusing to listen to this gospel. Look at verse 18. Why would anyone turn this down? Open their eyes, because the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, 2 Corinthians 4 says, so that they might not see the beauty of the glory of God in the very face of Christ. And Jesus, wherever he went, I think I've never counted, but it seems to me he did walk on water, and this man knew it. And he did rise from the dead. And this man knew it, but he said, I will not, you know. But he did many things, but it seems to me, I've never counted, but one of the most regular things he did was open blinded eyes. Remember that guy that cried out, or he was crying out, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? I love that statement. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, I want to see. Imagine being blind and someone opens your eyes. And you remember the guy in John 9? I think every Christian can relate to these, because apart from Christ, we were blind. We were groping around in the dark.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Paul Before Agrippa, a message from our study of the book of Acts. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. Now, we're very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We invite you to learn more about it. Continually growing to nearly 25,000 pastors involved throughout 25 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, the Philippines. We've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception back in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland that shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. It's a perfect break in the work week in an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information, or call us 1-800-935-3020. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially. It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
What an inheritance. Life eternal. Life abundant. All this, I want to be crystal clear. Paul was clear as he stood before Agrippa. This is for any and all who have faith in this Jesus of Nazareth. And Paul is really warming to his subject. He says, I didn't prove disobedient to this vision, Agrippa. That's why I stand here proclaiming this. And I proclaim to you what he proclaims as the resurrected one, that you can have life. You can have freedom from sin, freedom from guilt. You can have this life through faith in Christ.
Join us again next time as we continue our series from the book of Acts. And Pastor Scott continues the message, Paul before Agrippa. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.